This is Social Endeavor. I'm Autumn Kovac, and following is a conversation between me and my friend Kate LaRose on the topics of blogging, feminism, faith, and moving to a new city.
So, one thing I did want to talk about is your blog.
Oh, right. Yes. It hasn't launched yet, but I have
something.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Well, when do you have a release date?
No, I should set one.
Yeah,
I
kind of did for mine.
Uh-huh.
Well, because James was like, I want to share, you know, our podcast. He was super excited. And
right,
I was super excited. I'm like, yay. So I'm like, all right, let's just do it. You know, it's one of those things. So I just like have to jump off the diving board and do it. So it's kind of out there. And I feel good. I feel comfortable. Uh-huh. I thought I'd be like super nervous, like, okay, now everybody knows. But I think if I just get used to the fact that people are,
reading. So you've launched
it. Yeah.
When did you do that?
That would be Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll use this interview as my, like, launch.
Okay, good.
Yay. That's what I need.
Okay, good.
I just need this, like, thing that I want out there so bad, I'm just gonna do it.
Yep.
Because I'm, like, I'm writing this stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
and you have a flow.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, is figuring out, like, what's your style. And
right.
Because I read somewhere, like, you can't really look at the statistics of your blog. Because if you're writing for that, you're going to get disappointed and discouraged. So you just have to do it for yourself. And if you get rolling, that's all that matters. So.
And I kind of want to find a way to like, make my blog. Because I do all the, like, I do this art. And I write these poems, and I just, like, I feel like I'm just, like, going in all these directions, and I want to use a blog to suck it all in, and to, like, channel it into a certain space.
Right. So do you have a theme, like, an overarching?
Yes, I have a name for it.
Okay. Are you going to reveal the name?
Yes, I can reveal the
name. What's the name?
Willed a Woman.
Willed a Woman. Okay.
It's based on a song.
Okay.
By Lucius is the group.
Right.
And I love the word itself, and but I also love the song.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is, like, one of the quotes is, she's only bound by the things she chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that my blog would be focused a lot on, like, being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how do you find the, like, what is wildness?
Mm-hmm.
Especially from a female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just all these different strains that I started to, like, pick up on that, like, wild vibe. That one day when I was talking to you, where I, like, first started clicking.
I know. That was a great day.
And then it kind of, like, kept coming up more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got all these, like, different strains of, like, I think, I don't even think I had listened to this when I was talking to you then.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this whole interview with this guy who founded the, National Play Foundation. I don't know exactly what it's called.
Okay.
But it's like they study kids playing and how play is actually something that is part of your life for the whole rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But we start to kind of, like, not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't talking about gender at all.
Okay.
But I think it's so huge. Like, we teach kids from the time they're tiny through play about how... about their gender roles, like, right off the bat. Like, when boys are, like, roughhousing and pushing each other around, we're like, there's boys.
Right.
But when girls do it, we're like, get it together,
right,
young woman.
Yeah, you're a lady.
You're a lady, you know?
Yep.
And it, and then, of course, the basic things of, you know, cooking and dress up.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I did as a girl.
Right.
But with that, just because that's what I did because I was a girl, or what, I don't know.
It is hard to separate, like, do I do these things because I like them, or because they've always been the norm for women?
Right, right.
So.
And I think I had a very healthy play life as a child.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I recognize now that not everyone has that. Like, that's why I draw, is because I drew a colored all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love to act. I play make-believe all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so that connects to the wildness thing, because when kids play, it's kind of wild. They were talking about that with, like, even like animals, when they fight, you can't tell the difference between play and fighting.
Yep.
And we really restrain that in girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it bottles up, and then in adolescence it comes out in that like really nasty girlness.
Yeah.
Other and boys just like punch each other.
Right. And it's still okay. Yeah.
It's like okay, like they can get over it in a different way. And girls don't have
like an outlet.
An outlet for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Because boys tend to be more upfront, would you say?
I think so.
And
yeah.
As a woman, I guess I feel like I'm more blunt than normal. And some of my friends don't like that. And I'm like, it's so much easier, just be clear. Just tell me what's going on and I'll be as honest as I possibly can. And it's just almost impossible.
Yeah.
I've not had a good experience once being completely honest with really good friends. Yeah. So, and I think it's definitely part of it. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because it's Minnesota or because maybe it's just women in general.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I would be, you know, I was talking to my sister who's now in California. So I was like, I think I need to live somewhere in the Midwest because my perspective on people is Midwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Midwestern people, but I do think that they're just different and sometimes limited and more close-minded about things. And she was talking about the women that she knows in San Francisco and that they're very assertive.
Okay.
Much more assertive in a more liberated way. Like, the women I meet here in Minnesota are a little different than the Missouri women, who I think were a little more southern. So women are assertive here, but needing to prove themselves. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. I need to find a way to articulate what it is that I observe because I work at this fitness studio.
Okay.
And it's all women. Most of them are between the ages of like 35 and 60.
Sure.
So I'm observing a very particular strata.
But wide range of age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too.
But it is kind of a, I do feel like I'm kind of observing a rather homogenous community.
Okay.
And I pick up, I don't know, I need to articulate that.
Yeah. Would you say it's more passive-aggressive?
It's a little passive-aggressive.
Like, definitely part of it.
Yeah.
But.
And judgmental of each other a lot.
True.
And a lot of this, I think that women at that age right now are not dealing with what, like, their mothers dealt with, which was, like, well, you can be a secretary, or you can be a nurse, or you can be a teacher.
Right. Yeah.
And so these women are much more proud of their careers, but they're also mothers, and I just feel like they're all constantly, like, stressed, and they're all, like, feeling like everyone's judging them by their children and their job. And then I'm working in this fitness studio, so it's also their bodies.
Right, yeah.
So,
which is huge.
It's huge. So it's like, I don't feel like any of them, or few of them, feel really at ease.
Okay, yeah.
With their life.
Right. Even though it's like, yeah, we're all in the same place. We all have the same things going. We all have the same goals of having family, career, fitness, or whatever.
Right.
But there's no support.
There's no support. And I don't feel like they genuinely embrace each other. I feel like they're all like, this is me and these are my excuses for why it's not as, as great as it should be. And, this is why I couldn't work out because I was working.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
too much.
Where's the, like, breath?
Yes. Yeah, because we mentioned this in our conversation too about how women do have so many options.
Yes.
And yet it's great. It really is awesome. I went to an all-girls school for my freshman year of college, and I loved the fact that I went there, that it was based on, women deserve an education and should have that accessibility. And yet then going fast-forwarding, 70 years later or more, to where we have so many options, and it is better, but then it's not, because we are so, the expectations are so much higher.
Right.
To say, since you have these opportunities, what are you doing with them?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I find myself in that same struggle of just feeling, I guess, a sense of failure mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. and maybe compared to other people, I'm doing just fine. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm great, you know.
Right.
It's all a
right.
comparison game, which exactly. is terrible.
Which is awful.
Yeah.
It's all just like... So, yeah. So did you go to a co-ed school then after your first year?
Yes.
So, did that change a lot of things?
Yeah, I think... All my stepping stones were great for what I needed. So I went to the all-girls school, which really jump-started my ability to learn. I didn't know how well I would do in college. Mm-hmm. And so having that support was really phenomenal. Just to have it in an academic setting, and then as I started in business, mm-hmm. they really emphasized that too, where women in the workplace or in business was great and should be pursued. So, and then I went on to a school in Minneapolis that was co-ed, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it was great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a great foundation mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. go off of.
Yeah.
But, so, you lived in Missouri.
Yes.
And did you go to school there?
No, I grew up in Missouri, and then I went to school in Illinois.
Okay.
To a little liberal arts school.
Okay.
And then I went back
okay.
to Missouri for a little while, and then mm-hmm. I moved there.
Yay. And what was your degree?
Theater.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That's yeah. so great.
Yeah. I'm really glad that I majored in theater. I had no okay. idea that I was going to major in theater when
really?
I went to college. No.
What did you start off with?
English and biology.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Science.
Yes. I still, you know, it's like that's something that I got to reverberate back
mm-hmm.
because I loved biology so
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved.
That's so weird.
I know. It's like I loved learning about how life worked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It felt very connected. I've never been into chemistry or mm-hmm. physics. It feels really abstract.
Mm-hmm.
But biology didn't. And I loved anatomy, too.
Oh, yeah.
I loved those. Yeah,
so. Well, those are sciences that you can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, and kind
yeah.
of...
Yeah, they're very of the body.
Yeah.
And of the world.
Right.
Which is what I'm the most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Of things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was talking to this man yesterday.
Yeah.
Who runs a theater company.
Okay.
And it was the first time that someone was, like, asking me, like, what I wanted to do with theater.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I just, like, hadn't had that conversation in so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked one of the things that I, like, managed to articulate.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes conversation actually, like, draws something out of you that
yes.
you didn't know you were actually thinking.
Yeah.
Like, you just, like... So...
Yes.
When I was in high school, I did this History Day competition a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like research and then write a performance mm-hmm. and then perform it and then compete.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to nationals twice with it.
Awesome.
And so the second time I did Gloria Steinem.
Okay.
And so that was senior in high school, first time I learned about the women's movement, mm-hmm. first time I knew what feminism even was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my huge awakening, mm-hmm. which I think that most women encounter sometime between high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go through these phases of like anger and helplessness and there's just like all these things that you feel
mm-hmm.
when you discover that, and then you have to decide how it's going to affect your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that performance felt like I was doing something
mm-hmm.
because I would perform it and for my peers, and these girls and guys too would be like, I didn't know any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it would open up these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I was doing something through performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in college I did the Vagina Monologues, was probably the other thing that I was a part of that really felt the same way, because it felt like we were raising awareness and bringing conversation about
what are those
topics.
About?
So the Vagina Monologues were written, can't remember her name,
mm-hmm.
but she went around and got women's stories and then made different monologues. And they can come across, I was talking to someone just last night about them, and they can come across as really angry.
Mm-hmm.
they can seem really, they can come from a place of hurt, mm-hmm. which they do in a lot of ways. So the production that I was in was just a couple of them, and it kind of was a more empowering thing. Mm-hmm. So the connection that I drew while yes. I was having this conversation yesterday
yeah.
was between that and my experience performing theater, because for me, the women that played taught me about myself as a woman.
Right.
And so I want to be able to use theater not only as like, I'm performing this and the audience is going, oh, I'm now thinking about things. That's one thing. But the other thing, as well as these Vagina Monologues performance that we did, was actually empowering for us as the performers. Mm-hmm. We got the most out of it mm-hmm. as women mm-hmm. and through rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to work with young women mm-hmm. and do theater with them mm-hmm. and empower them and educate them through the roles that they play and the topics that they create theater about. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, for me, is like, that's what theater has been for me, mm-hmm. and that's what I want to be able to help bring that to other people.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's really amazing. Because I think with theater, that should almost be a part of, like, a theater curriculum, mm-hmm. you know, to empathize with other women. Because a lot of times with acting, you need to draw on your own experiences. But mm-hmm. a lot of times you don't have those exactly. experiences or anything like it. So to go through that mm-hmm. exercise sounds mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. valuable.
And, like, I don't know if I'm going to... I hope... I love performing. Mm-hmm. I, like, live to perform, right?
Yeah.
But what I learned through theater would be useful to anyone, regardless of if they ever perform.
Exactly.
And what I learned through having a theater degree, even if I never perform again, will have been a huge part of who I am.
Yes.
And I think that people, regardless of what they pursue, having the theater in their life, I think is really a way to grow.
Yep. Even personally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. You always get something out of it. I've acted just a little bit, mm-hmm. but have loved. I would love to do more of it.
Yeah.
So just because you do tap into feelings and ways of expressing yourself that you never thought you mm-hmm. could. And mm-hmm. it's such a stretching experience.
And it's an outlet. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, when I think about this, like, wild woman thing.
Yes.
The, like, characters I've gotten to play sometimes just get to be so angry. Like, mm-hmm. so much anger. And it's like, that's in me, but I don't feel that anger towards people in mm-hmm. my life. And I don't want to put that anger on people.
Right.
But there are things in the world that mm-hmm. make me angry. Mm-hmm. Especially women's issues, yeah. you know? Like,
yes.
the way that women are treated in certain circumstances, it just, like, there's just this anger. Mm-hmm. And to be able to put that on, like, release it yeah. on stage, mm-hmm. it's so liberating and yeah. exhilarating mm-hmm. and it's, like, useful.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Everyone should act.
Everybody should act. You've got all these emotions. Here's where you put them. Yeah.
So in the first Social Endeavor podcast, I was talking to Brandon and James about moving to Minneapolis or moving to a new place as a young professional, as they both had moved from South Dakota and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. And I really love that, the possibility of having that theme throughout this podcast.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
that's a great theme.
Yeah. I've grown up here and I've only moved to Alabama for my freshman year, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So I did see a little bit and I've traveled some, but I really am curious about moving somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to talk about how you've moved from Missouri, mm-hmm. what was that like, just picking up and adjusting to a new place?
Yeah. Well, I remember saying around Christmas time, after I'd been here about 3 months, I was talking to my sister and I was like, I think the best decision I've made in my life so far was moving to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it could have been anywhere. Like, I don't think it was really like, Minneapolis, change my life.
Right.
It's like, no, for the first time in my life, I was just deciding to do something and doing it. Mm-hmm. Because up until then, it's like, well, obviously you're going to go to school and you're going to graduate high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for my family, it was like, well, you're definitely going to college. Mm-hmm. And my decision for college was so easy. Mm-hmm. It was so clear to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And I went there. And after college, I kind of was like in this like weird space of being home and like kind of pushing. Like, I had my own apartment and I was like working a lot and I was like, okay. But for the first time, I just decided to do something and I did it. Mm-hmm. And so then once I got here, I've realized now that the thing I've focused on the most is building a community for myself. Mm-hmm. And it was really liberating when I first moved. And honestly, after about a month of being here, I was like, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to move next?
Let's do this again.
Great. You know, it was like you like shed everything mm-hmm. that you were.
Yep.
You keep, like, the things you, like, want to have, yes. and you just, like, are there. Uh-huh. It was exhilarating and exhausting.
Right.
And really hard.
Yeah.
And really great. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was just talking to someone the other day who was like, oh, my gosh, you have so many friends. And I was like, oh, my gosh. like 6 months ago, I just remember these nights where I would be like, I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Google search places to go out dancing in Minneapolis, and I'm going to go.
Awesome.
And I just go.
Yep.
So for me, dancing and the dancing community has been my, like, saving grace in mm-hmm. terms of moving, and also made me realize how important that is to my happiness. Mm-hmm. So even though, like, a lot of other things are not lining up or working out, and I'm learning from them, but they aren't clicking or getting me anywhere, that has been something that I also know how to recreate that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like,
yep.
when I relocate again, that's, I know how much energy I have to put into that.
Yep.
And that also leads to everything else. Mm-hmm. Because it's the people you know that get you, that tell you about this thing that's happening, that, you know, link you up to someone else. And yeah. it's really all about the people.
Yes.
So then for me, I, in terms of, like, job life in Minneapolis has not, like, got it. It still feels really vague, and, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I can't grab onto everything.
So what did you do first when you were like, okay, I know I want to go to Minneapolis? What was the deciding factor? Did you need to know, who am I staying with? What am I going to do there? Did you jump in first mm-hmm. and then figure out all those details?
It all kind of clicked together at the same time. So it felt like the universe was going, green light, go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who lived here, who was not going to be here anymore, but it was just like someone to talk to and be like, I'm thinking about doing this. And him being like, just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my parents live here. If you need to stay here for a weekend when you visit. Mm-hmm. So that was great.
Yeah.
And I talked to my mom, cried a lot. Yes. Really, I will always remember that conversation.
Yeah.
And she did, she kind of like, it was hard, I think, the first conversation we had. And then the next day, she was like, okay, I will go up to Minneapolis with you for job interviews and to just scope it out. And if you like it, you know, go for it. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's a little crazy to, like, move and never have been there. And
yeah.
Like, okay. I that's legitimate.
Yes, granted.
Because I knew that she was going to, like, resist me wanting to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a place to stay when I moved up here. I had a couple connections through his parents. Mm-hmm. And then I had a couple jobs that, like, came through right away.
Okay.
So it's one of those things. I really try never to, like, look back and go, I should do this. I should have done that differently. Because that's useless. Mm-hmm. The only thing you can do is go, okay, next time.
Exactly.
This way.
Yeah.
So the job I came up here for was really good. Like, it was, I was really excited about it. It was part-time, but it was with the History Day, nice. Which was sort of the first thing I started thinking about when I wanted to relocate, because I was like, this was a huge thing in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to find somewhere to go.
Where you could act there. Where, it's reenacting.
No, it was, this was helping students work on History Day projects.
Okay. Which is something you've done.
Which is something I've done.
Yeah.
And I love teaching and I love working with kids. And I was like, this could be great. So when I talk about this reflection thing, it's like, part of me is like, I should have just stayed with that. But it was not enough hours for a long time at the beginning. And I didn't feel very good at it because I was helping them research, mm-hmm. which is something that I don't know how to teach. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how, I can research, mm-hmm. but I do it my own weird way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and I felt incompetent, and I, like, a lot of the kids were like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever had to work on in my life, which I get, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to tap into that, because that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the one that was, like, doing it independently on my own.
Yeah.
So it was like, I wanted to, like, be useful and good at it, but I didn't know how to, and I also knew that I could really invest in it and get better at that, but that actually wasn't what I wanted to do. That I need to be working with theater a lot more. Like, that's why I did History Days for the theater part.
Yeah.
So I kind of migrated away mm-hmm. from that and wanted to find some more, like, full-time work kind of thing. And I also came up here because a children's theater offered me, or just, like, was like, let us know when you get here and we'll work out, like, an internship kind of thing. And then that kind of just, like, didn't work out because they were really far away and they kept canceling our meetings. And mm-hmm. I was just like, So then, I guess ever since then, I haven't felt that green light feeling in terms of my jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I undulate, you know, between being like, okay, yes, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. being like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, until recently.
Right.
Which is today.
Which is today.
You had really big news.
Okay, so I applied.
Printed on here. I just have to say, this email is printed on a receipt. You definitely need to scrapbook this.
It is on receipt paper. Yeah. Accidentally, of mm-hmm. course. But.
Yeah.
So I applied to this internship in San Francisco, kind of on a whim, like, I don't know, probably like a month ago. When it was really cold, and I've just gotten back from visiting my sister in San Francisco. And it's with a theater company out there, and it's an art education internship, and it's pretty much full-time, but unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did it kind of on a whim, and then they interviewed me twice, and it was, like, went really well. And so then today, they called and they offered it to me. And I, like, didn't expect it to happen, so I never went through the decision-making process.
Of what would this actually look like?
Of what would this actually mean? Or mm-hmm. would I actually do this?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was just this, like, oh, let me just open that door over there and just do this.
Yeah.
What the heck? Let the air in, you know?
Right. Let the warm air in.
Right. So now, I recognize that I've been here for almost 6 months. And though I have learned a lot about myself, and I've met a lot of great people, and I love the community that I have, and I'm excited for the summer. That's going to be beautiful. The things that I am missing in my life, I was extremely affected by the winter weather, like, depressed occasionally. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's believable.
And also have, like, no structure for my pursuits. And so I will come up with, you know, I have all these ideas that I want to work on, and all these artistic goals, and I just, like, don't execute them, mm-hmm. and I don't know why, and it's like, you know, I can tell myself, you know, yes, I'm gonna get it all together and do it now, mm-hmm. now everything will change, and yet that hasn't happened mm-hmm. in, like, 6 months,
mm-hmm.
so maybe what I need to do is make a choice that creates the structure. And eventually, I think that I will have to create my own structure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's something that everybody has got to be dealing with when they graduate from college.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have spent our whole life with structure.
Yes.
Your job is to read this book.
Yeah, yeah.
And to talk about it, mm-hmm. and write about it, mm-hmm. and beer play. And, you know, like, all these things that we want to do, mm-hmm. we have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though we don't usually end up wanting to do our homework,
yeah.
the fact that, like, my homework my last year of school was to, like, read an entire poetry book in a night, and I was, like,
wow.
you know, banging my head against the wall, mm-hmm. now I'm, like, somebody,
yeah,
make me read this poetry book in one night, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to, like, figure out how to, like, work with myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing myself that, okay, maybe I don't know how to give myself structure yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I think I'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to pick structure.
And this might be a form of that.
This might be a form of structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, it would be awesome to go to a place where it is warmer. It's different. It's on the coast.
It's different. It's
different from anywhere you've
totally
ever been.
Different.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, yeah. It would be so great.
Yeah.
Personally, I would go in a heartbeat. But so that's my two cents.
Right, right. Well, I love my sister's movie.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. You have great reasons. So, do you find yourself making lists of, like, reasons you would go or, you know, would do something or wouldn't do something?
I mean, I'm a major list maker.
Okay.
I live for lists.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about lists, and she was like, all right, now we need to make the list of the lists we're going to make. And I was like, this isn't even a joke. Like,
this is real.
I'm going to do that. But however, when it comes to decisions, I'm not so much of a, like, list the pros and cons person.
Okay.
So my lists don't tend to be that way.
Okay.
More
to-do lists.
Yeah, a to-do list and, like, goal list and self-improvement list.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things. But honestly, how I'm probably going to make my decision... Though I don't have any, like, structured form of religion in my life, I really trust in, like, the guidance that's external,
mm-hmm.
because I myself feel a lot of times that, like, I'm just this floundering little feather. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I need guidance, and mm-hmm. I find that when I really trust and believe and pray...
Mm-hmm.
that I come to a decision,
mm-hmm.
and it feels right,
mm-hmm.
and I feel relieved,
mm-hmm.
when I decide it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't look back with queasy feelings about it.
Yeah, that's good.
So I will pray a mm-hmm. lot, and also, as we were talking about earlier, I'm gonna, like, really think about how I'm making my decision.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's actually influencing
it? What's actually influencing it?
Mm-hmm.
And who I let influence me.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is true in so many aspects of our life. And, like, one little factor in which I think it's really big is, like, girl friends like to talk to each other about boys,
mm-hmm.
and they always influence each other about how they interact.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really easy to tell your girlfriend, oh my God, you have to call him, or oh my God, he totally loves you. You
right.
know, like,
yep.
we get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we're necessarily very trained or conditioned or strengthened in our own, like, internal decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, what do I really want?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what my parents think I should do, what my friends think I should do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really has to come from someplace inside.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, why I want to pray about it. Is
yeah.
because it's like, well, I myself need, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I need guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to come from something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So
where do you feel like you pray to?
Well, I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while, I think, to, like, feel comfortable with that sentence.
Sure.
Because I grew up Christian.
Okay.
And there's just things about the structures of religion that are, to me, extremely human.
Mm-hmm.
And understandable. because they're human, but I feel like what they're getting at is really deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, for a long time, I felt like the word God was associated with things that bothered me. Mm-hmm. But I finally now feel like I'm starting to, like, redefine the word God for myself, and God is not masculine. Oh my God. You know? Mm-hmm. And, so, yeah, sometimes I'll say the universe in place of God. Mm-hmm. Because for some reason, to me, that feels, I feel comfortable with that, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've always been really, really spiritual. I actually gave a sermon at my senior year in high school.
Wow.
So, like, I've always, like, really felt that. Mm-hmm. But my mom is the same way in that she, like, questions all the, like, human aspects of spirituality. Mm-hmm. And has, I think, cultivated a healthy mentality of, like, you can be really strongly spiritual, mm-hmm. But still be questioning mm-hmm. and doubtful.
Yeah, I do believe that too. I think that I've heard a quote that said, a God that you would understand would be someone lower than yourself. Mm, and so I think that God is someone that we can never truly know.
No.
You know, we can know parts of him. Pieces. And yeah. And I take comfort in knowing that God is a God of order, where he organizes our whole lives and knows where we should go.
Oh, okay.
So it absolutely makes sense that we should ask him for that guidance.
For the guidance.
So.
And I was recently back to this wild thing. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I just love this interview I heard. It's a book. And I can't remember the name of it, except that it has the title, part of it is Wild God.
Okay.
So it talks about this, like, well, it specifically talks about this experience that the author had where it was this, like, spiritual moment where all of the names for everything in the universe suddenly, like, disappeared from her brain. It was like a brain thing mm-hmm. actually happened, mm-hmm. and suddenly the world was completely wild, and she was aware of the, like, something deeper than what we can comprehend.
Yeah.
And I think that artists understand that.
Yes.
And that, so for me, I, like, art and God have always been mm-hmm. so connected. Mm-hmm. And it's this thing that there's no words for. Mm-hmm. There's no human way. Mm-hmm. And yet we just have to constantly strive, mm-hmm. you know, dig for it.
Yeah.
So for me, like, religions are, like, these ways that, like, people have full connections to God through this experience, and so they cling to this experience in order to mm-hmm. like reconnect mm-hmm. to that feeling and that connection with God, mm-hmm. which to me makes total sense. It's mm-hmm. like why I still write and mm-hmm. dance mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and create
mm-hmm. because that to me is that thing that, like, lets me have those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you just never know where it'll go.
Yeah.
Which I think is also a great part of the adventure in, mm-hmm. in life, in mm-hmm. in knowing that, like, you can still be safe. Like, there's always an answer when you take a step of faith. Because I think a lot of times in life, decisions can point to a certain way, but it does come down to making a choice and just having faith that... Yeah. It's gonna work out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And it's like, I don't know which way I believe it goes. You know, like, I don't know if I believe that, like, God knows what's gonna happen. Or if it's like, if you just believe that it's good and it's right, mm-hmm. then it is good and right. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it's the fact that you have faith in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That makes it worthy. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're, like, walking along this path that's already created. It's it's like you're just you just really believe in what you are doing, mm-hmm. and that makes it right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like I'm here at this point in time,
yeah.
and if it was wrong, I would be somewhere else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like this is where I am.
Yeah.
And it's where I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to embrace that.
Mm-hmm. You can have confidence
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think another aspect of making decisions and deciding where to go, especially in our 20s, maybe more so than 30s, is that we have a sense of urgency to seize the moment and, you know, take those trips to San Francisco or whatever it may be. Because it's, I think a lot of times in social groups, we have this attitude that we're immortal and we will be in this stage forever mm-hmm. because that we surround ourselves by those people, which isn't bad, but it doesn't drive the point home constantly that we don't have all the time in the world.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think that's another aspect that should encourage us to seize the moment. And one thing that you mentioned was as women
yeah.
the time clock.
Time.
Do you mention any of that in your blog or
yes
just,
yeah so I for the first time it's like I've always conceptualized the fact that like oh yeah you know I should probably have had my kids by the time I'm 35 because like you have 35 and it's like the risks are bigger and you're like reaching this point where, you know, fertility is hard, and,
mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I suddenly feel like I feel it. It's like registering this, like, all these things I have to think about and decisions I have to make
mm-hmm.
that I think are very specific to women.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I don't think my male friends even think about it.
Right. Not at this point anyway.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you know, whenever the family thing is ready, it will come along and it'll
they
be
just
right
think it'll happen.
And I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, I've got to like, I feel like I want to have kids when I'm like young enough to have a lot of energy and just like bring them along for everything that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we kind of have to make this decision of, like, mm-hmm. are we going to, like, throw ourselves into what we want to do with our life?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we feel like we're kind of okay with it, then have some kids.
Right, yeah.
Like, at the last minute, like, okay, throw them in.
Like the last ingredient.
Right. Or we have to be like, I'm just going to have kids now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still figuring things out.
Yeah.
But at least I've got these, like, other beautiful beings to throw myself into.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep figuring things out. And, you know, then they'll kind of grow up. And mm-hmm. I'll still have a lot of myself left to, you know, continue on with.
Yeah.
And, again, like I said, it's not like I haven't been aware of that as a thing mm-hmm. and been able to talk about that certainly in the past, but mm-hmm. it's like, I think even in the past, like, month,
mm-hmm.
I just feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, it's really important to, I think that's a great perspective, though, to, in regards to children,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. a lot of times women or moms are portrayed as, okay, now I'm a mom. I am this person.
Right.
And you, like, get rid of everything that you've worked so hard
yeah,
for. And it's
yeah.
absolutely not true.
I don't think it has to be that way at all.
No, it really shouldn't.
It really shouldn't.
You need to still be that same person for
yeah.
your children.
Yeah. Something that I talk about a lot with some of my friends is this... It's not been very long historically in terms of humans that we've had this really secluded form of family
mm-hmm.
where it's like I've got my spouse and my kids and then, you know, I probably have like some grandparents and like aunts and uncles mm-hmm. but we just see them every once in a while kind of thing. And it's like I've got to be self-sustaining in this mm-hmm. little group
mm-hmm.
which means that like one person has to work and one person stays home. Or we both work and we both trade off the kids and it's really stressful.
yeah.
But this idea of community
mm-hmm.
is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be utilized so differently
mm-hmm.
in society. Where it's like, well, okay, what if I went to work and my kids stayed with my best friend?
Yeah.
For the day.
Yep.
And then, you know, the next day I stayed with the kids and my friend went to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we just, like, balance this child rearing with other people that we love and we trust and we care about and we want to be part of our kids' lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, like, bring our kids to work sometimes, too. That's the other thing. If my kids do not come near what's actually happening in the world.
I know. Yeah, it's so compartmentalized. It's
so compartmentalized. I tell this story a lot because I just love it. When I was working at a grocery store in Columbia, one of my coworkers had a baby, and she would work a four-hour shift with her little baby strapped to her.
Wow.
And the baby would sleep the whole time. And she had her husband on call, so the baby, like... Yeah. Or she would have another coworker able to come in if the baby screamed. He never did when I was.
Wow.
And the effect that this baby had on the customers... Mm-hmm. Like, you get customers sometimes that are, like, really crabby or something. But you'd watch these people come up to the register with whatever was going on in their life. And then see the baby, and they would just, like... melt and they would open up and they would smile and they would just suddenly feel
so things, happy,
you know? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize how infrequently babies and little children are around in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's important to not lose touch of that innocence. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, what are we working for? We're working for the next generation. Yes. You know, of people and humans.
Yeah. And, like, don't you think that, like, all these environmental issues that we have going on now, I feel like if there were just, like, these kids around all these people that were...
Making decisions.
Mm-hmm. That they would be like, oh, yeah, that little thing is going to have to deal with what my decision is. Okay, maybe I need to think about this.
Yeah. It would help, I'm sure.
I think it would help. I don't know. Maybe it would just drive them crazy.
Yeah, maybe a little both.
Yeah, a little both, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More balance.
Right.
All right, so in conclusion.
In conclusion, I am starting this blog.
Yes.
Called Will the Woman.
I'm so excited for you.
I'm really excited. And it's exploring... the things that are specific to me and my experience through hopefully a like universally accessible lens.
Mm-hmm.
But originally, my blog was going to be called All This Beauty. And it was just a place for me to put all these beautiful things I noticed in the world that I used to, particularly in college, share them with my friends all the time. You know, I would be like, I noticed this little flower today. And my friends would, like, care. Like, want to know, right?
And, of course.
And so now I'm like, I've stopped doing that. Like, I've just stopped sharing. And yes, my friends here probably still care, but it's different, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where the genesis of this, like, wanting to share my thoughts came from, was this, like, I notice beautiful things, and everybody does, but we don't talk about it or share it.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, that, you know, I've got all these other ideas that I want to talk about and discuss and grow, and I just want to be able to put them somewhere where people can visit them.
Mm-hmm. So you've been writing this for how long?
Oh, gosh. Maybe like a couple months, 2 months. I don't know. I'm not quite sure when I like started it. Mm-hmm. And it would be like touch and go for a while.
Yeah.
And I think in the past month I've started being really like
serious about it.
And like trying to create things that I would actually want to share with people.
Yeah.
And, so I'm ready to...
Release it. Awesome. Which is going to be on Sunday. Okay. Awesome. Well, you've heard it for the first time here on Social Endeavor, the Social Endeavor podcast. So thank you so much for coming in today, Kate. It's been so fun.
It's been great.